Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
It's been a roller coaster of a week, a white knuckle ride. That's how the HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid described the past couple of days. The HSE have been trying to reconfigure the vaccine rollout following the NIAC recommendations on the restricted use of AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson holding back their deliveries of the vaccine. And the good news yesterday that Pfizer would increase their deliveries in this quarter. I'm joined now by our environment and science correspondent, George Lee. George, will we start with the good news that the portal is up and running? By all accounts, it's going really well, is it?
Yes, it is. It has gone very well. I know that during the first hour today, now, firstly, what this portal is it's a website that people who are in the age categories that they're looking at now, which is the ages 65 to 69, they can sign on to book an appointment for their vaccination. They started today. They opened it for people aged 69. Now, those who are 69 and don't do it today, they don't have to worry. They can do it at their convenience. But they want the 68-year-olds to start tomorrow on the portal. It's the hse.ie website. And the 67-year-olds the day after, 66-year-olds the day after, and 65-year-olds then. I think it's Monday for them. So what they said is that during the first hour today, 9,000 people registered in online for their appointment and 500 people by phone, because there is a phone number for those who aren't able to access a computer or for whatever reason don't want to do it that way. That phone number is 1850 24 1850.
A lot of calls, I'd say,
a live line or something like that.
I was just going to say, a lot of calls probably to that number.
500, I think, in the first hours.
Well, there has been some criticism, hasn't there, George, in terms of the information that's needed when you're registering on the portal. But the HSE, I think, addressed that today.
Yes, they said that the information they have was neat. Well, it was important. They said that the average length of time that people are taking when they go on the site to book their appointment is 10 minutes. And the information which they require is all kind of stuff which they feel helps the process in the end to be much quicker. But they say that it's not very difficult in terms of that information. But the key things that people do need, and some people might not know their air code, that's one of the things you do need. You also need your PPS number, you need a phone number, like a mobile phone number, and you need an email address. And then there are other things such as your ethnicity and all these other stuff that they ask you on the form on the site. Now, by lunchtime, they said that 18,000 people had registered. 95% of them had registered on the site. So it was going very, very strongly for them. And they said it's a way to contact people much simpler than the way they were doing it before, which was through GPs, and they'd contact you, that the public could come to them. But they also said that the public, the rest of the people under the age group of 65 would be using this approach and this portal in time.
I suppose it shows the appetite that people have to get vaccinated as well after such a long time. CEO Paul Reid, he was talking about, he was setting out three fundamental tenets, as he put it, from their experience of the vaccine rollout to date. Let's have a listen to this, George, and we'll ask you about it in a second.
First of all, there's three fundamental tenets that I think will hold true in this plan. And firstly, it is that we'll continue to administer based on the scientific medical advice that we get, and indeed on government policy. That will stay true and remain core true. Secondly, that we'll continue to administer all vaccines that we receive in a timely and efficient and a safe manner. And thirdly, as I've said today, third thing that we can be sure of, it most likely will change from what we set down today, because that's been our experience and that's what we know will happen. So our commitment will be, we'll continue to be mobile, agile, flexible, and with a dogged determination to deliver what we have throughout.
And that is Paul Reid. He can be sure, he says, that it'll change. But he also spoke, George, about the unknowns. What did he say about that?
Oh, yeah, there's so many of them. The difficulties they have is they say this is the 25th version of their plan for the rollout that they've had to do, because they've had to adjust to all sorts of things, you know, whether it was location changes, sequencing changes and priority changes, delivery schedules, setbacks and so on. And what they say is that the things they don't know right now and that they are important for them to have a plan going forward is they need clarity on the delivery of the new news yesterday that we got, that Pfizer would be able to bring forward the delivery of 545. 5,000 doses of vaccine into this three-month period from late in the year. Now, they just need to know, well, when is that coming? Is it coming in June? Is it coming in April? Is it coming in May? And how much is coming each week and so on? So they can't plan till they know that on that front. They also need clarity about Johnson & Johnson. This is the fourth vaccine which has been cleared. Now, we already have 14,000 of these arrived in the country last week, and they're now in cold storage, and they don't know what to do with them because they can't use them, because there's a question mark over them, because they've assumed that the European Medicines Agency may be looking at this in relation to the same kind of issues about AstraZeneca, and it's just a little bit up in the air at the moment. So they don't know. They need clarity on that.
Yeah.
And they also need clarity in relation to this new consideration that's been given in relation to the gap between dose one and dose two with the Pfizer vaccine, where there is a discussion and a debate been had about whether or not you could move it from the current level, I think it's just 4 weeks, to maybe up to 8 or 12 weeks, and that would give them a chance to vaccinate more people with one dose before a person gets the second dose. And so they don't know clarity on all of those, so it's very difficult to do the plan fully.
Yeah, so there's uncertainty, but they still say we're on target to meet the targets we have, 80% first dose, for example, by the end of June. But where are we, George, in terms of targets that were set for this week, for example, and whether we've met them or not?
Well, now, it's interesting, just on the June one, they said that they will be aiming to stick as close to that when they know the answers to some of these uncertainties that they don't know the answers to. So on that front, there's still a little bit of stuff up in the air. In relation to where we are on the plans, they had hoped this week, this is the week we're in right now, that they would do 180,000 to 190,000 vaccines administered this week. They're now saying that because of the setback, because they couldn't use the AstraZeneca the way they wanted to and all of those other issues, they think it'll only be about 140,000 to 150,000, so short of about 40,000 or 50,000. Next week they think they'll be doing in around 140,000 vaccines, 150,000 again. But they're saying that the thing which they have been set back in terms of the number of doses this week, that they will be aiming to catch up as quickly as possible now that they have some clarity and some version of a plan, and they think that'll be a matter of weeks before they close out that. They want to give the people whose appointments were missed an appointment as soon as possible, and they're working on that.
And they were talking about the effectiveness of vaccines as well, and the impact they're having. They gave some really interesting figures in the improvement in daily case numbers. Chief Clinical Officer Colm Henry spoke about this at the briefing. Let's have a quick listen to what he had to say.
Current disease metrics we were seeing in the past week, continuing improvement. It now appears more sustained and maintaining the trends we were hoping we were seeing the past few weeks, and those trends certainly maintaining and heading the same direction. As 14-day instance is now 126, peaked at almost 1,500 in the middle of January. The average number of cases per day down further from 430 last week to 388 per day, and that peaked at almost 7,000 in the middle of January. Hard to believe it was that high at the time. And hospital admissions now fallen below 200 with 13 per day. And we're also seeing, as we've heard, a positivity rate 2.6% for tests, and a negative growth rate of the disease, which is sustaining now at -2% to -4% per day. So the incidence rate is decreasing in all groups, most notably those over 75, where we're seeing sharp falls, which are protracted week after week in the particularly older 75s, over 75s, suggesting a protective effect of the vaccine.
That's Dr. Colm Henry. It's an incredible drop, all right, from a peak of 7,000 per day to an average daily case number of 388 per day this week, which is incredible, really. Did they speak about any other improvements, George?
Yeah, well, they spoke about that hospital trend number coming down 21% week on week. The intensive care numbers are down 11%. These are really good numbers, particularly after the worries we had about St. Patrick's Day and Easter, and also the fact that we had a couple of weeks there where the case numbers week on week were going up. They're now coming down. That's really important. There's no outbreaks in nursing homes now at all throughout the country. No new ones for 2 weeks solid, which is a really good thing. Very, very few, if any, in terms of hospital staff getting infected. Yeah, the other thing they said is the walk-in test centres. These were the temporary walk-in test centres that they've set up in various locations around the country, that they so far have 30,420 people have used them. And these would be for people over the age of 16 who supposedly have no symptoms of COVID-19, weren't tested in the last 6 months and live locally and just felt that they want to get tested to see where they stood. Now, they found out that it transpires that 2.79% of them have turned out to be positive. and that in two of the centres, in Finglas and Mulhuddin in Dublin, that the rate of positivity was 5 to 6%. Now, the reason why it might be that high is it's quite possible that people in these centres don't have GPs that they're registered with, and they decided to go to this place to get tested, because we know it has transpired that of those people who went to those centres, the most recent data we had was that 50% of them in the end did have symptoms, although they were for people who don't have symptoms, and that 40% of them, it transpired in the end that they were close contacts of other people. But those walk-in test centres are doing a good job in terms of identifying potential sources of the spread of the virus, and I think they're going to work now on two static centres, two centres that would be more permanent for people to walk in, one in Mullingar, and I think he said one in Dunmanway is how I picked it up, but I'll have to check exactly that location.
Okay. Well, look, generally the trend is quite good from the briefing today. George Lee, thank you very much indeed.